What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of 101 Sports and Cards. Always, I'm Nathan Holloway, and with me, Drew Drish.
What's going on?
We're starting the NFL. Now we have some head coaching news.
Well, it's Tuesday today. It's an off day. It's a weird day.
Who cares?
It's a Tuesday.
Who cares? The Bears hired Lions offense coordinator Ben Johnson as their head coach. The Lions defense coordinator is also, I forget what his name was, is also supposed to take a head coaching job from probably with the Raiders. But this is a great move for the Bears, for the Lions. If you're a Lions fan, this was your year to be good and win a Super Bowl, because next year you're not going to be that good, because your offense coordinator and defense coordinator ran the show. Dan Campbell barely does anything besides talk. And if you want to come at me about that, you can, but he's not the one out there calling plays. It's the offensive defense coordinators, and losing the two best in the NFL, in my opinion, is going to be a huge blow, and I don't expect the Lions to be very good next year. They'll still be playoff good, but you're not going to see them be a championship contender. Patriots hire Mike Vrabel as their head coach. I don't think we talked about this yesterday. There's not much to talk about. Of course, he played for the Patriots. Solid move. Kind of feel bad for the guy, though. So it's not a good situation. The Vikings signed Kevin O'Connell to a multi-year extension. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Divisional recap. Chiefs defeat the Texans 23-14. Mahomes, 177 yards. Touchdown. Kelce, 117 yards and a touchdown. The Texans suck. Commanders upset the Lions 45-31. Jaden Daniels, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brian Robinson Jr., 77 yards and a touchdown. And Terry McLaurin, I think he had 2 touchdowns, actually. Yeah, Brian Robinson had 2. Terry McLaurin, 87 yards and a touchdown. Jared Goff, 313 yards, touchdown, and 3 picks. The Lions turned the ball over 5 times. In the game, Eagles held off the Rams 28-22. Man, I wanted the Rams to win this game so bad. Screw Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, 128 yards, 70 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. Saquon went wild again, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns in the snow. And Stafford, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns. Disappointing loss for the Rams. Bills outlast the Ravens. You want to talk about a disappointing loss? Bills outlast the Ravens, 27-25. Josh Allen, 127 yards. James Cook, 67 yards. Lamar, 254 yards, touchdown, a pick, and a lost fumble. Derrick Henry had 84 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And Mark Andrews should be cut from the team, in my opinion. Although there is a lot of blame to go around. You can blame Lamar, but Lamar was arguably the best player on the field in this game. He did enough in the second half to bring them back, and then Mark Andrews did 2 things that you just can't do. When you can't drop a ball when you're wide open on the to tie the game on a 2-point conversion, and the other is when you catch a ball in the middle of the field, you run north-south, not east-west. Because what happens when you run east-west? You're going to get hit, you're going to get the ball knocked out. And when you watch the replay, he had wide open space in front of him and decided to be an idiot and run straight to his left, which made zero sense. But, yeah, Isaiah Likely's better anyway. Mark Andrews was bad this season. He had a good middle of the season, but I don't expect him to be back with the team, to be honest. You want to say anything about it?
It wasn't just him that caused it. He was a big probability. I mean, the team sucked. The whole team. Even Lamar sucked. He was not good.
You're still the best player on the field.
Yeah.
But from either team.
It wasn't good, though. It wasn't. He can't carry the whole team. I mean, Derrick Henry should have. Derrick Henry dropped a pass.
They still got a touchdown on that drive.
But still, you never know. And then Lamar with this fumble, they were halfway down the field already. Ravens just choke again.
The championship round preview is the Commanders and Eagles. Who wins?
Eagles.
I'm not going with who I think is going to win. I'm going to go with who I want to win in both of these games, which is not who is actually going to win. I'm picking the Commanders because I want the Commanders to win. I don't want Philadelphia to win. I'm tired of Eagles. I'm tired of Eagles fans because I'm tired of the city of Philadelphia because it just all around sucks. And screw the Eagles. So Commanders. Bills, Chiefs.
Bills.
I'm also going with the Bills. Screw the Chiefs. You know they won't win. You know the Chiefs will win. They'll win the Super Bowl because they're too busy paying off the refs. And, you know, the refs suck. We're not going to dive into that because I could go on and on about the refs. And if I do that, we will not be having this podcast anymore. Because you will not like what I have to say. And we will probably get canceled. It's amazing we haven't already. And on to the association, the biggest news of the day. The Suns traded their 2031 first-round pick to the Utah Jazz for the least favorable first-round pick swaps in 2025, 2027, and 2029. The 2025 and 2027 first-round pick swaps for the Jazz is going to the Suns as between the Cavaliers and the Timberwolves, of course, from the Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell trades. And then the 2029 first-round pick swap is between the Timberwolves, Cavs, and Jazz. This is a big move for the Suns. They now, their 2031 first was the only first-round pick that they had. They now triple their first-round picks, and this opens the door for them to land Jimmy Butler from Miami probably later this week. I'm going to go out on a limb and say by Friday, Jimmy Butler will be a Phoenix Sun. Just going to throw that out. Now, will it work?
No.
But they think it will. And Jimmy's not going to be happy there either, because Jimmy's not happy anywhere he goes. Neither are teams that actually want him, because after he ends up being on their team, he's a cancer to the locker room every time. Why do you think so many people have gotten rid of him? The Thunder's Mark Daigneault is set to coach one of the All-Star teams. So remember, there's four All-Star teams this year. One of his assistant coaches has not been named yet. He is set to coach another one. It will likely be Kenny Atkinson and one of the Cavaliers' assistant coaches for the East. The Cavs have not officially clinched the best record in the East before they take it from before February 2nd. The Thunder have already done that. The Cavs should do that with a win and a Celtics loss, which could have happened yesterday, but instead the Celtics blew out the Warriors by 40 points, which we'll talk about here in a second. The All-Star starters are set to be announced on TNT on Thursday. Right now, let me pull this up. The All-Star starters for the Western Conference. I know the Western Conference off the top of my head. The Western Conference is right now. The voting is Shea leads all guards, which well deserved. He deserves to be an All-Star. Jokic leaves all of the front court players. He actually has the most votes of anybody, which is well deserved. Of course, it's not going to load. I had this saved on Twitter because I usually use this every week, but I deleted it. Okay, so Western Conference front court is right now Jokic leads, then it is LeBron and KD. Wimby is right behind them, so is Anthony Davis. More than likely, these are going to be the starters for the All-Star game. Of course, the fan voting is, I believe, 75%, and then the coaches get a say as well for 25%. So the front court will likely be Jokic, LeBron, and Durant. Wimby is right behind. I believe Wimby should be over Durant, just because Durant's missed time. And Wimby's been a bigger part of his team because he's the only part of the Spurs right now. So do you agree with them? Who would you have as your front court starters for the West? Do you agree with Jokic, LeBron, Durant?
I'd probably put Wimby in for Durant.
Okay. For the guards right now, it is Shea and Stephen Curry. Luka's third. Luka's not going to be able to play in the All-Star game anyway. Kyrie's also on there. Do you agree with Shea and Curry? I also agree. For the East right now, Giannis leads everybody in votes in the league. It is right now him, Jason Tatum, and Karl Anthony Towns. I believe that is the right front court. If Paolo wouldn't have missed, you know, multiple months, he could have been up there. He's right now fourth in voting. The guards for the East is LaMelo Ball and Donovan Mitchell. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I also agree with that. Of course, the starters are announced on Thursday on TNT. Next Thursday will be the reserves. The All-Star game is set to take place in San Francisco on Sunday, February 16th. Talking about the All-Star weekend, Modest Bouzelis and Stephon Castle are both going to be in the dunk contest. So you have two rookies I mean, it's fine. Neither one of these guys are really known for their dunks, and the dunk contest has kind of been just, you know, boring over the last... There hasn't been a good dunk contest since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine, to be honest. The 76ers have lost six straight games, and Embiid is out again. He's out again tonight against Denver. They're going to lose that game, although it has not tipped off yet. They're going to lose that game. Should the Sixers blow it up? They're right now 11th in the East. They're outside of the playoff picture. Should they blow it up?
Yeah, you get rid of everybody except for Maxey.
The thing is, they cannot trade Embiid this year since he signed the extension. He cannot be traded this year. He can be traded in the offseason.
Yeah. You keep everybody but, I mean, you get rid of everybody but Maxey and a few others.
I agree with that, but I feel like they would still prioritize Embiid because I don't think there's a lot of teams around the NBA that would want to actually take on Embiid. This was a large contract, and his health is a major issue. Celtics and the Warriors, a 40-point home loss, is the worst loss in the Steve Kerr era. The Warriors have been bad. Is it time for them to blow things up?
It's been time to blow it up. It's been time to blow it up since like 2 years ago. I thought they was going to do it when they got rid of Clay. I mean, they need to keep going. I mean, no one's playing good besides Steph. All the rookies and second-year guys are sucking horribly. All the future prospects have not panned out to be what they were supposed to be.
Their new addition of Dennis Schroeder has been terrible.
Yeah.
If you have looked at his stats, he has been bad.
So, yeah, you blow it up. I'd even consider getting rid of Kerr, too. You get picks.
I would agree with that. The bad thing is, the only thing is, they're not going to get rid of Curry because he wants to be there.
Yeah.
He wants to finish his career there. The fact that all you had to do to keep your dynasty alive was whenever KD left. Remember why KD left? Draymond. Why did Klay leave? Draymond. Why'd they trade Jordan Poole? Draymond. Just think that you could have a lineup. Of Curry, Jordan Poole, Clay, and, Durant, and then whoever you want to fill in at center. But instead, you decide to keep Draymond, who's been really bad this year. He's too more worried about, you know, being off the court and doing his podcast. It's time for them to blow it up. They won't because they're not smart enough to do it. They still think that they can, you know, be a championship contender with a few moves. They're not going to be able to make any moves. They have the only player on their team that is tradable is Jonathan Kuminga, and they refuse to put him in deals. If you don't trade him, you're not going to land somebody good.
Nobody wants Pichinski right now. Nobody wants Moody. Nobody wants freaking Draymond. I mean, nobody wants anybody you got.
Unless you're somebody from The Athletic. I think it was The Athletic. If it wasn't The Athletic, I'm sorry. Because I actually like The Athletic. But somebody had them trading Curry and Draymond to the Rockets. That's not going to happen. For one, why would the Rockets do that? Why would anybody want Draymond Green? That's my first question.
Dylan Brooks and Draymond would not get along.
Dylan Brooks would have to be part of the trade because of the salary. But either way, they need to get younger. They got to find somebody to take Draymond. They got to find somebody to take Kevon Looney. They got to take somebody to find Wiggins. That's another guy that they have not put in trade talks this year because they want to keep Andrew Wiggins. Remember in the offseason last year, everybody was like, when are the Warriors going to trade him? And they're trying to find somebody, and nobody wanted him. Now people actually want him, and you won't trade him. He's not providing anything. He's only averaging like 18 points per game. He's not a good defender. He's not the best scorer. He is getting older. Eventually, you just gotta restart. You keep Curry. You get ready. You keep your young players that you think are going to be good. Which right now there's not many.
Yeah.
I still think Kuminga's still promising. He's out with an injury right now. Pajemski showed promise last year. He's been really bad this year. Hopefully, he's just a sophomore slump. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis is the other because you have to have a center on the team. Because Kevon Looney ain't that guy. Other than that, Moses Moody, get him out. and get everybody else up. The fact that they have a former lacrosse player on their team playing solid minutes is sad. Because this is not the Warriors team that, you know, everybody remembers. The Pelicans pulled off their largest comeback in franchise history on Monday versus the Jazz. They had a 25-point comeback. CJ McCollum continues to boost his trade value. The 33-year-old guard had 45 points. He joined an elite list of players. This is now the second time that he has scored 40 or more points this month. Whenever he dropped, on January 3rd, he dropped 50 against the Wizards. He became the 11th player ever, 33 years or older, to have 40 or more points in multiple games. If he gets another one, which there's still 38 games left in the season, you know, the Pelicans are still their roster is dismantled with injuries right now. There's a good chance he can get it. If he does that, he will become just the fourth player, joining Curry, LeBron, and Durant to do it three times. So everybody kind of wrote off C.J. McCollum. We'll talk about C.J. McCollum in a few weeks because the trade deadline, February 6th, we'll have a trade deadline special. In which we will focus on completely the NBA that day. So more than likely next week, because there's no football to talk next week, because, you know, next Sunday is the Pro Bowl, and nobody gives two craps about the Pro Bowl because it's the worst All-Star game in sports.
It's not even a game anymore.
Flag football.
Yeah.
Moving on to baseball. The Dodgers had a very busy week. They signed Roki Sasaki. Who would have guessed? They also signed Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates. Is it time for the MLB? I can't wait for next season's lockout because the CBA ends after this season.
Yeah.
The 2026 MLB lockout is going to be great.
Yeah.
Because this has to change.
Yeah. This is just disgusting. I mean, it's not even fun. This is literally the freaking Royals team on steroids. This team, on paper, should win 162 games. They should. This might be the best team ever created. There was not a lineup I have ever seen. Maybe the freaking Yankees back in the 1930s when they had Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, and all of them. This is the best modern-day lineup, probably, ever.
They have the best hitting lineup, and they are going to have...
They have a chance to
have the best pitching rotation using six people in their rotation, and it has a chance to be the best ever.
Yeah.
I mean, they have three former Cy Young Award winners. You have the top guy this year in Roki Sasaki coming over, and everybody thinks he's going to be great. Then you have the top guy last year, which was Yamamoto, who played very well until he got hurt.
And just think, all the prospect pitchers they have that was pitching last year, Bobby Miller. He's going to be the bullpen, most likely. I mean, this team is going to be unfail. It has to stop. This is ruining the game of baseball. I mean, you'd be a silly bastard not to pick the Dodgers to win the World Series.
They have to do it. They need a salary cap floor so that we stop with, you know,
Cincinnati,
the Rays, the Nationals, everybody who refuses to spend money. Yeah. Or if you want to talk this year, the Cardinals, who have not signed one player in free agency. And then you got to have a salary cap. So you don't have, you know, the Dodgers, the Mets, all these owners that have the deepest pockets in the league. Well, the Mets owner does. The Dodgers isn't the deepest. He just, you know, defers it until, you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
Or until the players are dead, too. But something else. The Blue Jays signed Anthony Santander. They finally got somebody. Of course, they were in on basically everybody that the Dodgers signed. So they got Santander. Do you like this move?
I think it's a good move. I think the Blue Jays have made some sneaky, really good moves. I think they've been one of the better in the offseason. They got Andrés Jiménez. Now they got Anthony Santander. I might be missing one or two. But I think this team's going to be good. If they trade Vlad, they're going to get a lot of things from the Mets if that happens. The way it sounds, they don't want Pete anymore, which is sad. But,
you know, who's in on Pete? Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Blue Jays are in there with Pete Alonso and Jurickson Profar.
Profar's a great player. I think the Blue Jays making good moves. I think they are.
The bad thing for them is that Bo Bichette has, there's been reports that he is going to leave in free agency this year. Yeah.
Which sucks.
And you know where he'll probably go? The Dodgers.
Yeah.
I saw a guy on Twitter today that put every free agent for next season had the team Dodgers. I mean, eventually that's how it's going to be. Yeah. Unless Rob Manfred gets his head out of his ass, which, you know, he's too stupid to do so. And actually does something. The Baseball Hall of Fame induction for this year, they were announced. Ichiro, C.C. Sabathia, and Billy Wagner will be inducted. Ichiro fell one vote shy of being unanimous.
Can I talk about this? Okay. Baseball is my thing. What silly bastard thought Ichiro did not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I know you don't like Ichiro.
I don't, but he's a great...
He is one of the greatest players of all time.
He would have had a chance to be the all-time hit leader if he would have came over earlier.
He came over at like 26. And he still got 3,000 hits in the MLB. To get 3,000 hits in MLB, you basically got to come up at 22 and hit 300-plus hits. Not 300-plus, that's almost impossible. Because the record's like 268 or something like that. But Ichiro... No, 292, I think, is the record. Fact check me real quick. But you get an average like 250 hits a year, pretty much, something like that, I bet. That's hard to do. I'm sorry. Mariano Rivera should not be the only unanimous Hall of Famer. Honestly, how is a pitcher unanimous? I get it. He's unbelievable. He's a closing pitcher. You tell me a guy that is one of the best outfielders I've ever seen, hitters I've ever seen. This is a joke. This is a joke. I would argue that Billy Wagner was just as good as Mariano Rivera. Just Billy Wagner didn't pitch as long because he wanted to spend time with his family. I'm surprised Billy Wagner got in a damn Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is stupid. It's a bunch of old guys that they're just so...
Medium.
Yeah. They're just so hard in the head. Like, oh, we can't just give out, you know, the unanimous vote. It's prestigious. Mariano Rivera is not the only guy that should have it. Derek Jeter should have got it, in my opinion.
Griffey
should have got it. Billy Bonds should get it, but, you know, he won't ever be in.
Does that mean, like, even the older, like Babe Ruth and all of them, they weren't unanimous?
You tell me, the greatest players of all time, Willie Mays is not 100% unanimous, but Mariano Rivera is? Come on, get that shit out of here.
I'm going to be talking about the same thing whenever Pujols gets inducted in a few years.
Pujols? I added Julio and Pujols. Albert should be unanimous, whether you like him or not. Yes, the end of his career tailed off a little bit. What the dude did in the 10-year stretch he used with the Cardinals is possibly one of the greatest stretches of all time. He is a top 3 hitter of all time. Changed my mind. It's bullshit. Change it, you old heads.
You agree with CC and
yes,
Billy
getting
in there?
Yes, I agree with CC. Yeah, they're both great pitchers that should have been in. Yeah.
Surprised there wasn't more.
Yeah, I didn't see the ballot. I really didn't look at the ballot.
I mean, there's never more.
I forgot.
You're lucky to get 3 people.
Yeah, usually it's about 2. And you usually give one to some guy. It's like, how does he get in over this guy? Like, Andrew Jones almost didn't make it. Andrew Jones! If you don't know who Andrew Jones is, you're not a baseball fan. You know who Andrew Jones is? If you do know who Andrew Jones is, you're like, oh, that's Drew Jones' dad. Yeah, well, guess what? He's about 50 billion times better than Drew Jones would ever be. You know, he actually made it to the MLB. Drew Jones ain't looking like he's even going to make it to AAA.
It's You done with your rant?
Yeah, I am. It's ridiculous. Ichiro should be unanimous. And if you don't agree with me, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. And I actually, why am I saying sorry? Because I'm not sorry. You actually cold-heartedly believe, deep down your soul, that Ichiro is not a unanimous player that should be in the Hall of Fame? Unanimous? You're an idiot.
I don't know the person who didn't vote him.
Yeah.
They should release this information. And they should never be able to vote again.
If they've released information, people may go kill them.
Yeah, I know. Because that's all it was on Twitter after this was announced about 2 hours ago. Moving on to college football, Ohio State wins the national title over Notre Dame, 34-23. Quinshon Judkins made the Notre Dame defense his bitch. Other than that, there's not much to talk about. Thank God Notre Dame actually made it somewhat of a game at the end because it was... to be honest, I honestly thought about turning it off midway in the third quarter and just start working on articles, which I did start working on articles. I just had it on mute, and the next thing you know, I look up, and it's like, oh, they've somewhat came back. So I watched the end of the game. Should have just turned it off.
Yeah. I thought Notre Dame was going to – they came up swinging, man. First drive took 6 minutes. They got the touchdown. Like, okay, they got something. After that, it was just a
– It was a bad – It was a great first drive by them, but it was a bad first drive with how much they used Riley Leonard.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude was gassed.
Yeah.
After. I mean, you really don't want, you know, your star player to be gassed after the first drive of the game.
Especially against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Whose defense is going to eat you up, and the offense is the most potent offense.
Also, not to diss on Marcus Freeman, because he had a great year. But some of the some are the calls.
Yeah.
For one, the field goal, you should have just went for it. Also, your defense, the fact that you decided to play man-to-man. You've seen Ohio State just eat up man-to-man coverage all year because, you know, they have
three guys.
You have two great running backs. You have a great quarterback in Will Howard. You have Ryan Williams on one side, and then you have Emeka Ibuka on the other.
Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith, shut up. Sorry, I was thinking Alabama. You have them on the outside. You have a great tight end.
There's nothing you can do if you play man-to-man. Someone's going to get left open.
I don't get why he didn't switch to zone until the second half. And you saw in the second half it worked.
Yeah.
Until that final play for Ohio State, in which Jeremiah Smith had the long reception.
Like 40 yards, wasn't it?
Because they had a zero blitz and decided to put one of their younger corners on him. Man-to-man, it didn't work. If you would have just watched game film from last week and see what Texas did. Texas held Ohio State in check last week by playing zone. That's why Jeremiah Smith had one catch for 3 yards in that game. I know you're a man-to-man team, but eventually you got to switch things up. You can't just play man-to-man every time. It's not going to work.
Because you get teams like Ohio State, which has 6 weapons that they can hit you with, and one of us is going to get left open. Someone's going to get burnt. Someone's not going to be covering the guy, and that's what Will Howard's going to pass to. Because Will Howard proved to me he's one of the best QBs in the country.
He will not find that success in the NFL next year. Neither will Riley Leonard.
He can't pass.
Exactly. On college basketball, college football's over.
Really? I didn't know that.
They got to change some things. But the playoffs, got to change the playoff system again. Sorry, they have to. They got to change. The national championship game should not be on a Monday.
Yeah.
There was no coverage for it from ESPN all week.
Yeah.
There were multiple people that on Twitter and social media didn't even know the game was last night.
Why is it that's
a Saturday? That's a problem.
It should be on Saturday or Sunday.
NFL. I agree wholeheartedly with what J.J. Watt said. I think it was J.J. Watt who put it on Twitter last night. If you're going to do this, start the season earlier.
Yeah.
And have, you know, everybody, your biggest games are on New Year's Day. Because that's the start of the playoff. Make the championship game New Year's Day. Then you don't have to, half the season, you don't have to mess with the NFL. You don't have to mess with the NBA. You don't have to mess with all these other sports that are going on.
Tennis is going on.
And also, you're not going to have to mess with the NFL playoffs.
Yes, no one's going to pick.
I mean, it also didn't help that yesterday was a holiday. You had basketball on that night. You had people coming off of NFL from Saturday and Sunday. You also had the inauguration. But even like watching, I watch ESPN all the time. When I turn my TV on, that's what it's on. Surprising, right? And you barely saw any advertisement for it. You barely saw any of their talk shows, SportsCenter, anything actually cover it until the day before or the day of. Like, you should be, as soon as last week's games ended, you should be on there. Every other ESPN commercial should be national championship.
I mean, it's one of the biggest sports championships in
there was a reason why the cheapest tickets were $3,000. Yeah. And people were paying over 10 grand to go to see a very crappy game. You had to do better. That's all I got to say. They also got to figure out the transfer portal. Because the transfer portal is stupid. This is also coming from a Wisconsin fan who had one of their corners transfer to Miami without entering the transfer portal. I don't know how that happens. But, yeah. You got to fix something. Moving on to college basketball, where the transfer portal is not as bad. The new rankings came out. Number one is Auburn. Two is Duke. Three, Iowa State. Four, Alabama. Five, Florida. Tennessee, six. Houston moved up three spots to seven. Michigan State up four spots to eight after they beat Illinois. Nine is Kentucky. 10 is Marquette. They dropped down three spots. Purdue up six spots to 11. Ole Miss up five spots to 16. Wisconsin up six spots to 18. UConn dropped down five spots to 19 after their latest loss. 20 is San Jose State, who moved up six spots. Mizzou moves up four spots to 22. They're finally ranked. It took them long enough to do so. And Memphis dropped down six spots to 24. Also, Gonzaga is no longer in the rankings because they have been really, really bad. They suffered another bad loss the other day. The best games this week, tomorrow, will be number 13 Texas A&M versus number 16 Ole Miss. On Friday will be 21 Michigan versus number 11 Purdue. Saturday, it's a great triple header. It's number 16 Ole Miss versus 22 Mizzou, number 7 Houston versus 12 Kansas, and 6 Tennessee at number 1 Auburn. The next Tuesday, a top 10 matchup between number 9 Kentucky and number 6 Tennessee. The best game of the week is going to be Tennessee-Auburn. Two of the best teams in college basketball. I still believe Auburn is the best team in the nation. So that's going to be a great game. You know, in other sports, Substraka wins the American Express by two strokes over Justin Thomas. The Farmers Insurance Open is this weekend. Say it.
Substraka. If you don't know what Substraka, it's Pokemon. I always think Substraka is Substraka.
Thanks.
Because my brain.
Yeah, it is. Everybody knew that.
Yeah.
That's all I have. NASCAR's back in 2 weeks.
Woohoo!
Kyle Larson on the Chili Bowl.
Yeah!
Enjoy the NFL playoffs. Enjoy basketball. There's going to be a lot of trades over the next few weeks, so be prepared for that. Of course, as soon as the Jimmy Butler trade happens, that's going to open the floodgates of trades because everybody's waiting to see what happens to Jimmy. So, thank you guys for listening. Come back here next week. Peace.